The following paid commercial program was furnished by the program sponsor. The WYSL stations present an hour of truth for the battered but proud people of the Empire State. From the financial and entertainment epicenter of New York City to the sleeping and empty small cities and towns of upstate, which once bustled with manufacturing, mining, and farming. We all know from inspiration, history, and nature, we deserve a return to the success and growth of generations past, a birthright being squandered by corruption in Albany, and the depredations of an insecure, scheming mountebank posing as governor, who loathes both us and himself. As liberty beckoned to enslaved peoples behind the Iron Curtain via American broadcast after World War II, we now say, believe, rise, and join us. Welcome to Radio Free New York.
Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us. This is episode number 6 of Radio Free New York, where we talk about all of your rights all the time. I'm Andrew Hollister, candidate for Lieutenant Governor, and we've got Bob Savage back in the studio with us.
I'm back, ladies and gentlemen.
So, quick recap of the last episode, kind of the last 2 episodes, actually. We talked a lot about education. Last episode, we talked about how to fix education, how to turn it around, point it in the right direction. The episode before that, we just talked about the state of our current education system in New York. So I'll just recap those numbers for you guys, maybe give you a little teaser. You'll go back and check out the podcast. On average, we spend $10,000 more per student per year in New York State above the national average.
Well, that's okay because the education is so much better in New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah, except, oops.
It's not.
No, no, no. Graduation rate, we are ranked number 39 in the nation. Number 33 for math scores, number 33 for reading. So if you want to hear more details about other numbers, how we think you can fix that, how we can fix that as a state, check out the other podcasts, AYR.show. I think they're also on the WYSL website, too, are they?
Yes, I believe
yeah.
so.
Yeah, yeah.
So, WYSL1040.com, and you look for the podcast button on the homepage. And then you'll just find they're all the shows that are podcast are alphabetical. So
there you go. The other thing I want to do is encourage you guys. We are streaming. We're live on WYSL. We are live on Facebook, live on Twitter, live on YouTube. Send me a message if you have a question. I'll try to check it periodically and interact with you guys. Or if you want to call in, you can call in if you're 585 area code 346-3000. If you're on Verizon, it's star 1040. If you're outside of the 585 area code, you can reach us at 866-552-1009.
Now, back to the stream for just a minute, too. If you're listening on a wireless device, you'll need the TuneIn Radio app. A lot of people have that. If for some reason you don't, it's in your app store, or you can get it on the website, WYSL1040.com, and it's free.
There you go. Free is good. So, normally, the format of the show is we talk about some stuff. Normally, I bring up a bad law, talk about that, and then give a little bit of a campaign update. Today, I'm going to start with the bad law. But before I do, I actually want to thank you guys as listeners because I've been meeting you guys throughout the state. And as Larry and I do events, you guys have been coming up and telling me that you really enjoy the show, that you're looking forward to it. So I wanted to give all of you guys a shout out and say you guys are awesome. Thanks so much for supporting us. And thanks for telling me and giving me feedback about the show. That really helps me know that I'm doing the right thing and lets me know that people are listening. So that's great. I want to thank you guys for that. So today's bad law. You know, if you look at the podcast, I normally give them kind of a obscure title that's maybe interesting for people to check it out. This one's going to be called The Betrayal, and we're going to talk about the SAFE Act in New York, because the SAFE Act is more than just a bad law. The Republicans voted for it too, and they really betrayed the Second Amendment community. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the SAFE Act, and that may take up the whole episode. I don't know. And I hope you guys call in and give me some feedback on this.
We need to have a bad law theme.
Yes, yes.
How about this?
There we go. Yep, yep.
The New York SAFE Act!
Yeah. So we do have the SAFE Act. Yes, this is our bad law. And what I want to do when we talk about the SAFE Act is talk about what it is, how it got passed, and why it's so bad. Because I still meet people that don't know what the SAFE Act is. I still meet people who think it has something to do with safety. And I want to make sure that just everybody's aware. So front center, here's what's going on. You know that our rights are under attack, especially our Second Amendment rights. You know this because we have red flag laws being proposed right now. And that is just, it's terrible. I didn't know this, but apparently like two other states already have red flag laws. And they had some just terrible, awful experiences. And a lot of times when Second Amendment advocates, they talk about these red flag laws, they talk about you losing your guns.
Terrible in the sense that due process is trampled on and rights are submarine.
Yep. Turns teachers into kind of a secret police where they're going to err on the side of caution. They don't want to be responsible. The judge doesn't want to be responsible. So, yes, take away the rights. No appeal, no due process.
If it saves just one life.
Yes, if it saves just one life. But what I didn't know in these other states is something else is happening. You don't just lose your firearms. You lose your children, too. So if they think that you're so dangerous that they need to take away your firearms, there have been instances where the kids go to CPS as well. So you don't just lose your firearms, you lose your family.
With no due process again.
Yes,
once again. Because this has got to be process. It's got to be corrected right now.
Yeah.
Can't take the time.
Yeah, exactly. So awful, awful. SAFE Act is a representation of, not only have our... so that was red flag laws, but we're talking now specifically about the SAFE Act, just so nobody goes, wait a minute, what you switch from one to the other. So that's how we know how bad our Second Amendment rights are under attack, because this is now being proposed in New York State. So SAFE Act was voted in the Senate January 14th, 2013, 43-18. It then went to the Assembly the next day, 104-33, passed both.
Along party lines, I'm assuming?
No, that's the thing. The Republicans voted for it, too.
Isn't that interesting? Ladies and gentlemen, what have we learned today?
Yeah. And literally, when you read the articles about this, they call it a bipartisan bill. Democrats and Republicans working together to take away our rights. Absolutely terrible. So Cuomo signed this bill in less than an hour of it going through the Assembly. Less than an hour.
The late Bill Nojay related, I think that the Assembly was given, I don't know, like a couple hours to read it. It's not one of those crazy 1,000-page things that you see in Congress. I think it's 32 or 35 pages. But still, I mean, let's bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, the legislature is supposed to be a deliberative body where pending legislation is debated in front of everyone.
Yes, and they're supposed to do it for 3 days. They're supposed to be given 3 days to review, talk with constituents, actually look up, verify whatever supporting documentation that's being used to say this is a law that should be passed. They're supposed to have that. Cuomo used what's called a message of necessity, which is supposed to only be used for emergency purposes to get this passed. So they bypassed the 3-day limit, rammed it through, middle of the night. Now we have the SAFE Act.
Well, you know, we just, the laws are really kind of just recommendations.
Yeah, except for those who've been arrested.
What's a quote from the Pirates of the Caribbean? More like guidelines.
Yes, more like guidelines. Yes, yeah. So a lot of people wonder, well, is the SAFE Act bad? If you've never heard of it, it sounds like, oh, maybe it's safe, makes us safe. And you have to give credit to where credit's due. And this isn't just in New York. This is across the country. When gun control is pushed, when rights are being trampled on, they don't call it the Let's Eliminate Your Second Amendment Rights Act. They do things warm and fuzzy, like the SAFE Act. Great marketing. They have amazing marketing. Not only that, they did it right after Sandy Hook. They did, when everybody was very emotional, looking for an answer. Dead children. Oh, SAFE Act. We need to be safe. Not only that, they did one more thing. They include the Webster provision, which says if you shoot a first responder, you get extra jail time. So what'd they do? They literally said, if you vote no, you're voting against first responders. excellent marketing to pass a terrible, terrible law. We're going to talk more about it when we come back.
Radio Free in New York on the WYSL stations. And we say hi to our friends on the west side, the all-new WYSL 95.5 FM Spencerport. We'll be back.
I want to turn this state around. I want to revamp our education system from K through 12 to K through 10 with no federal money and no new taxes. I want to repair our broken family court system so that when you lie in court, it is a crime. I want to support new industries like blockchain and open source and hemp and cannabis to support our struggling farmers. You might say these ideas are radical. No, they're bold. We need new, bold ideas to save this state. And this new message is approved by Larry Sharp.
Take it, Tony.
How's that, Pete?
Terrific, man. Hold on. Hello?
Honey, we need help. A pipe burst and the basement is flooding.
Oh, man, now I really got the blues.
What's the skinny, Pete?
Burst pipe. Water all over the basement. What am I going to do, brother?
Call Taylor. 500-HELP. Their plumbing experts will fix things up and have you singing in no time.
500-HELP? Now that's a hot number.
I think I'm really getting it, man.
Call Taylor. 500 help.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right, so here we are. We're back. And just responding to some comments on Facebook here. Got one guy that says, I'm a certified social studies teacher, fully support Andrew and Larry's platform on education.
Yay!
Yes.
Let's hear for social studies.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? That's actually really common. The teachers typically support our education platform.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's interesting. The people who want to educate kids, they support us letting them educate kids. Who would have thought?
Listen to a lot of the teachers' unions, you'd think that you'd have to kind of monolithically support the Democrat, but
yeah, it's interesting because you hit a good point. The union leadership, not so much a fan. Administrators are, I would say, maybe 50-50, because they don't like the idea of being eliminated so teachers can teach. So some of them, we had one last night actually, who said, I totally support your guys' platform. I just don't like it might not include me. So, I mean, that was kind of, an interesting...
Revealing.
Yes, absolutely. So, what we're talking about bad laws in New York. We're talking about the SAFE Act. So, what I want to do is kind of give you guys a little information about what the SAFE Act is. It's really extensive, actually. So, I'm going to try to condense everything down to this episode because education took up two full episodes. So, I'm going to try to keep it one for this. One of the first things it did is it made it illegal to purchase ammunition without a background check. The interesting thing about this is it literally broke the firearms industry for a little while. You could no longer purchase ammo online. No background check infrastructure for that. Gun shops weren't sure what they could do. The NICS system said, no, you can't use us for that. We're a federal agency, and it's meant for firearm sales, not for ammunition. So you can't do that either. And what happened is, even though the SAFE Act was passed in 2013, it took them all the way till 2015 to realize the technology doesn't exist. So New York State now has what they call an understanding of the fact that the technology doesn't exist, and that part of the SAFE Act is essentially ignored.
So does that mean that legislation no longer exists?
No, it's still on the books.
No, I don't think it does. Still there. We're just – and by the way, when there's uncertainty like this, and the uncertainty, I believe, is cynically introduced into the equation because when there's uncertainty, the default mode becomes you don't have guns.
Yes.
You don't buy ammo.
Yeah.
You don't transport your weapons.
Yep.
You don't go to the range anymore because you could be violating some law that nobody understands.
Yeah. No, it's true. In fact, I know an individual who has a private range. And when the SAFE Act passed, you know, we were talking about things, and he said, you know, I'm closing down the range. He said, I can't take the risk. I'm not going to jail. And so some ranges closed down, and this was a private range. It's not open to the public or membership. I met people who something else was going on, and that is black market. You know, people who, well, I'm going to sell my ammunition. Well, legally, you can't because you don't have a way to give somebody a background check. And that's literally what this law started creating, black market and people shutting down their gun ranges. So not good at all. And small businesses going under along the way. Small businesses going under along the way. So, and that was just the first part. That's just ammunition. The other thing that this does not get talked about a lot, except for with Gun Owners of America. Because Gun Owners of America, when they came into New York State, they came in with the idea of creating the Civil Rights Restoration Act, which was to help defend people from this next piece here. And I was actually in Albany with them when it was presented. If you go back and you look at the TV interviews, there's me on the stage with Gun Owners of America. They're presenting the Civil Rights Restoration Act to try to get some of our rights back here in New York State.
Let me just jump in and say, for clarity, this is Gun Owners of America in New York.
Correct.
This is G-O-A-N-Y.
Yes.
Which is to be distinguished from the national organization. Yep. They're related, but they're not the same.
It's like a chapter, I think, or something.
Kind of unofficially. There's no accountability, I don't believe, to GOA. But GOA did assist in the launch of GOA-NYS. Yep. And there are other state chapters as well, like there's GOA-NH in New Hampshire, for example.
Yep. Yeah, and thank you for pointing that out because, I sent my first membership to national, not local. So it's important to know. If you want to get on board, do it. Make sure you do it right because otherwise your money might not actually be going.
I'm sure the Pratts appreciated that. It's not a lot of money, folks. It's $25. And the you should belong to both because the national organization has these great email blasts where they keep you up to speed on what's happening with state by state and federal legislation, and they're very well connected. It's well worth $25.
Absolutely, totally agree. So what am I talking about? Well, the SAFE Act created what we would call a secret database of people that can no longer own a firearm. This gets reported to NICS, but there's no appeals process. Once again, this is a common theme. You know, when it comes to your Second Amendment rights. No appeals process, no due process. So what this does is if you seek medical attention, and there's no guidelines on this whatsoever, if you seek medical attention and the provider thinks maybe there's a reason to report you and you own firearms, they fill out the paperwork, goes to your county, county sends it up to the state. State police show up and take your guns. That's what happens. No appeal, no recourse. You don't even know that this happened until they're knocking on your door. So who does this hurt? Largely our veterans, to the point where the VA actually came out and said, we will not comply. And a lot of people don't know that. The VA said, we're not going to comply with this, and we're going to expect the federal government to back us on that. There's huge, huge issues here. I mean, HIPAA violations of your medical records, people being misreported. That's huge. Accidents with paper, clerical mistakes, taking people's rights away and having no recourse. But it's not just that. Once you're there forever. So say that you have a problem. Say you truly do have a problem. You check yourself in. Maybe you're an alcoholic. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe for a short period of time, you have to take some medication. You lose your rights. Say you go through a program, a whole year, 2 years. You're clean now. Say now you're clean for 5 years. And you go, you know what? Before I got into trouble, I used to enjoy hunting. I want to do that again. You can't. No way to get off. You lose your rights in perpetuity. Not only that, it goes into the NICS database, which is a national federal database that is used for background checks when you purchase a firearm. You move to another state. You're clean. You're good. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, because you're on NICS. And by the way, folks, I want to make sure you get the right impression here, too. You don't have to be an alcoholic. You don't have to have had a drug problem. There doesn't have to be anything even that dire going on in your life. We had the famous case in Penn Yan of the mom who had bronchitis.
Yep.
So she had a terrible case of bronchitis and couldn't stop coughing. So the doctor prescribes an opiate-type codeine-based cough syrup so she could stop coughing up a lung because she's not getting any sleep. Well, she had a bad reaction to the codeine. A lot of people are very allergic to codeine and other opiates. So she winds up in the emergency department. She goes there. She's told by her doctor after hours, yeah, you better go down to the ED because she was having this reaction. I can't remember what it consisted of. Well, what you've got to realize is, you know, when you go to the emergency department or even your own doctor, what are they doing? They're tapping away on a computer in front of you. And what they're doing is coding your symptoms. There's this thing called medical coding that goes on thanks to Obamacare. So everything from a hangnail to a pancreatic cancer has a number of diagnoses associated with it, consisting of a code number. If certain code numbers come up, such as you're on opiates and you're having a bad reaction, under the wonderful New York version of Obamacare, a drop-down menu appears on this medical reporting system, which is linked to your county mental health division database, or department, yeah, or whatever. That then gets forwarded to the state police. And as Andrew has just accurately described to you, there is no notification to you. There's no due process. There's no... Wait. Can I just clarify this for a minute? I had a bad reaction to cough syrup that was prescribed legally to me.
Yeah.
So yeah. What does this mom get? She's feeling better. They keep her overnight. They keep an eye on her, make sure she's stable. She's cool. She goes home. And she's going out about her business. And a week later, the sheriff is on the front porch saying, I'm here for your guns. Not just your permitted handguns. Everything. We're going to take your long guns, too. Oh, you know something? We notice that your husband has a gun permit and he has guns, too. So we should probably take his because, well, you're in the same house together. Your husband and wife, suppose he leaves a gun on the counter and you pick it up and touch it to put it away, that's felony weapons possession.
Yeah.
See how this works? And as Andrew has quite accurately set forth, this lands in nicks. So even if you spend $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000 in legal fees to clear this all up at the county level, you're still in trouble on the federal level. Try getting the New York State Police to contact nicks and say, no, John Smith is all clear now. He's fine. They won't do it.
Yeah, it's true. It's not transparent. There's no due process. There's no appeals. It's awful. It really is. And what I hear constantly from veterans is, I will not seek any type of treatment. I won't. I fought for these rights, and I will lose them. I'll figure it out myself.
Yeah, do we want that for our veterans, folks?
We lose 22 veterans a day to veteran suicide. We're not helping them.
This doesn't help.
No, it does not. And to that point, so I have a story that I'll share with somebody who works or used to work for an emergency room. And she started kind of paying attention to how this goes because they just have a form they fill out. They check the name, check the box. And she said that a lady came in from a car accident and they asked her on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your pain? And the lady said, it hurts so bad I could die. Guess who had paperwork filled out, sent up? Now, I don't know if this person had firearms in their home or not, but as a medical professional, I used to be a volunteer EMT. That person wasn't suicidal. That person was in excruciating pain.
But that's how it was written up.
Yep, that's how it was written up. They filled out the form. They sent it. No firearms for that person ever. So, and that's just one piece of the SAFE Act. We're not even halfway through it yet. So, the one that probably most people are most commonly aware of is the changing of the definition of an assault weapon in New York State. So, for those of you who are very familiar with firearms, you're probably familiar with a stock. That's the part of the firearm that goes to your shoulder, the grip. What a magazine is. Sometimes if you're not familiar with firearm terms, you might watch a movie and think that the part that drops out of a gun for bullets is called a clip. It's actually called a magazine. So when we come back, we'll talk about what the definition has changed to and what the magazine limits have changed to under the SAFE Act. We'll be back.
Andrew Hollister, Lieutenant Governor candidate, Libertarian on Radio Free New York. Thanks so much for joining us.
Listening to the voice of liberty. AM 1040 Avon Rochester, FM 92.1 Rochester, FM 95.5 Spencerport, and WYSL1040.com everywhere.
I want to turn this state around. I want to revamp our education system from K through 12 to K through 10 with no federal money and no new taxes. I want to repair our broken family court system so that when you lie in court, it is a crime. I want to support new industries like blockchain and open source and hemp and cannabis to support our struggling farmers. You might say these ideas are radical. No, they're bold. We need new, bold ideas to save this state. And this new message is approved by Larry Sharp.
Stokey Farms, Rochester's favorite farm, is now open for their Pumpkin Patch and Harvest Fest. Enjoy over 35 activities like the bee zip lines, bounce pillows, and animals. Get lost in this year's maze, Spookly the Square Pumpkin Anti-Bullying Maze. Fun for everyone. Weekends now through October. StokeyFarms.com for details.
Avon Gun and Hunting Supply reminds you to protect your Second Amendment rights and exercise your right to vote. Freedom is not free. Be sure to honor and thank our veterans. Avon Gun and Hunting Supply, East Main Street in Avon.
Radio Free New York on WYSL. AM 1040, FM 92.1, and FM 95.5 West.
All right, so we are back here on Radio Free New York, where we talk about all of your rights all the time. Have another comment here on Facebook from Jeffrey asking about the Unsafe Act. Yes, many of us call it the Unsafe Act because it did not make people safe at all. And asking when it was passed, what year, and what other provisions. So it was passed in 2013. And as far as provision goes, we're actually going to touch on this a little bit, but I'll jump ahead. There was no provision for our law enforcement. So,
oopsie.
Yeah, just another oops, you know.
Law enforcement's all felons now. Oh,
yes,
well.
Yes. So literally what happened is, and this is so bad it's almost comical, but it's New York, so it's like it's very just – it's painful is what it is. They place a magazine restriction on how many bullets you could have in your firearm and also the limit as to – how much that magazine can hold. So if you are anywhere else in the country, there's a thing called the standard magazine size. And this relates to rifles for the most part, 30 rounds. In New York, when the SAFE Act was passed, they changed high-capacity magazines to anything that could hold more than 10. So we skipped standard, went all the way to just calling it high-capacity magazines, anything that could hold more than 10, eliminated all grandfather clauses from other laws that we had, also made it illegal for our law enforcement to carry their current weapons, which some hold 13 rounds, some hold 17 rounds, and probably there's others in between. But those are common, and literally law enforcement are like, wait, we're all felons now? Like, this is terrible. So, yes, that 2013 is when it was passed. Later, they added a provision for law enforcement. But as I was speaking with the state trooper the other day, they may have added that provision for law enforcement, but they didn't add a provision for law enforcement when they retire. So what this state trooper was explaining to me, which is something that I did not think about at the time, is if you're law enforcement and you retire and you don't get rid of your mags, you don't get rid of your weapon, you could still become a felon.
Well, that's mags over 10.
Yes, yes, which is their typical standard duty issue.
By the way, a fun footnote here, too, about mag capacity. We're talking about 10. I believe the first limit was 7, was it not?
Yes. So
and then that was yes. Assailed judicially over in Niagara County with a case of somebody who had this. And the 7-round limit was deemed to be arbitrary and capricious. And so now what's going on is nobody's prosecuting kind of by gentleman's understanding, if you'll pardon the term, that we're not going to prosecute anybody if they have over 7 as long as it's less than 10. But once again, as we saw earlier in the program, the law itself has never been revised.
Correct. Correct. And not only that, there's actually speculation that you're safe carrying 10 rounds in Western New York, but not the rest of the state, because that specific court that had that ruling was not a statewide court. It was like a Western New York region, the jurisdiction.
Was it a county court? Or?
I thought it was like a circuit court that only covered like part at like 5 or 6 counties.
Judicial
or
district or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's speculation that if maybe you were in Albany or another part of the state, that maybe you still could get in trouble for having more than 7 bullets in your magazine. And interestingly enough, one of the questions was, well, can you have 7 bullets in your magazine and 1 in the chamber? Well, the law didn't cover that either. So by general, thought that is okay.
And the insidious thing about this too, ladies and gentlemen, is the only way to resolve these issues because of the vagueness of this law. And by the way, there's a grounds for unconstitutionality called vagueness. There's almost no question among any legal scholars about the unconstitutionality of the SAFE Act.
That's true.
If only for vagueness. Yeah. Because if an ordinary person cannot understand the terms of legislation and they can't conform their behavior to avoid criminality, that's unconstitutionally vague. The law needs to be attacked on constitutional grounds.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Jim Ostrowski in kind of like Erie area has discussed that. He's an attorney. He's taken on some of the SAFE Act cases. He's actually fighting against the pistol permit law right now. And I forget specifically what part he's fighting against, but he does have a court case against the state right now.
He's fighting the Sullivan Act, is he not?
That might be what he is. He's got a couple.
1911, the original gun grabber legislation.
He might be. Yeah, he's got a handful of them. He did take like the Gia Arnold case when she had a SAFE Act charge. Great guy, knows a lot. He does. So, what type of changes can make you a felon in New York State to a firearm? And this is important because the felony that you get with the SAFE Act charge is actually more than molesting a child. That is literally what they did. If you have a piece of plastic on your firearm that's not compliant, doesn't change the function of the firearm, doesn't make it any less or more dangerous, doesn't make it any less or more safe, you have a piece of plastic on your firearm, it's now a worse charge than molesting a child. So really,
in terms of the penalties.
Yes. Well, and the actual, like, what goes on your record. Because child molestation in New York actually starts at a misdemeanor, whereas SAFE Act violations start at felonies. So this is where the people, the elected officials who voted this in, chose plastic on a firearm over molesting children. That's literally what they chose.
And if you are represented by one of those people in the Assembly or in the Senate, you need to remind them of their having done that and that you're watching them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So things like an adjustable stock, which I find discriminatory towards women, because when we do women shooting, we do shooting education, many firearms, especially long guns, are actually built with a larger frame in mind, and so men typically have a larger frame, fits them just fine. You bring a woman in who typically has a smaller frame, they can't hold it properly. We've eliminated adjustable stocks, which actually help women adjust a firearm to their frame, and smaller guys too, right? But in general, men have a larger frame. So it now actually makes it harder for women to get involved in shooting if they want, personal defense if they want. Things like a pistol grip that make a firearm more ergonomical. Illegal.
Not as safe.
Yeah, not, yep.
This is the SAFE Act, by the way.
Yeah.
Making weapons less safe to use.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, when you get in your car, can you adjust the seat?
Yeah, last I checked.
Can you adjust the mirrors?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you adjust the lighting level? Can you adjust the brightness of your instruments?
And ironically, I think it's law that it has to be adjustable. So it's pretty interesting. So I really believe that the people who put this law together watched some Hollywood movie or something to get their ideas as to what they were going to do to create this law, had no concept of firearm safety, had no concept of usability, had no concept of our Second Amendment rights.
Was it not mostly cribbed by Michael Bloomberg staff people, but they just...
Could be. Yeah,
They found somebody who knew something about guns. I think most of them, if as you're suggesting, if not all of them, didn't know anything about firearms at all.
Yeah.
And, I mean, let's just think about the reality of this for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Who commits criminal misuse of firearm-type crimes? Those would be criminals.
Yeah.
So the criminal's not going to go, whoa, wait a minute. I've got a 20-round mag here. I better not take that in when I hold up the convenience store. I'll get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Well, and they we talk about this often, that harsher laws don't necessarily deter crime, especially in firearm-related crimes where the person is actually committing public suicide. They're not worried about how many days of jail or how many years in jail they're going to get. They plan on dying when this is all done.
Go out in a blaze of glory, and they're going to need the ammo to do that. So what you do is, and this is why you don't want to discourage the legal use and carry of firearms, because as we have seen in case after case after case, it sounds like some kind of a line, which is mocked by the political left all the time, but the most effective way to deal with a bad guy with a gun is with a good guy with a gun.
Yep. And what the SAFE Act has done is made it so that the good guys with a gun maybe have a disadvantage and keeps the bad guys with guns an all-time high as far as advantages go. Now, here's the thing. The SAFE Act, once again, poorly put together, has a limit as to how many bullets you can have in your mag, has a limit on the size your mag can be, but you could just carry another one. That's how you know they didn't think this through. You know, oh, you can't have a 13-round mag. Okay, can I carry two 10-round mags? Yes.
Or 10?
Or 10. Yeah, now you've got 100 bullets. The SAFE Act did nothing in terms of even what they would have thought would be successful. You know, the left, where they think that, oh, well, we can limit how many bullets people carry around. They didn't even think it that far through. So it was just hastily put together, very poorly put together, puts our veterans in danger with our mental health provisions. It puts people in a situation where if they don't know or understand the law, they could become felons. They could lose their family.
And there's a category of gun user or potential gun user who is particularly disadvantaged by the SAFE Act, and that is, ladies and gentlemen, women.
Yes.
Because women are disproportionately victimized in situations where they could be aided with the use of a legal firearm, which they have been trained to possess and use. The firearm is the great equalizer. When a great big burly guy, you have that order of protection, which is suitable for framing, by the way. And while he's beating down your door and threatening to kill you, you can defend yourself and your children from this crazed maniac if you have a legal, properly trained to use firearm in your possession. We take that away from women, what are we doing?
Yeah, yeah. And we've taken everything else away from women already. Women can't have tasers. You can now only buy very specific forms of pepper spray. And depending on where you live, you have to register your pepper spray. You can't have the little self-defense batons attached to your keychain. All these have already been made illegal in New York State. So what are we leaving women with to defend themselves?
By the way, I point to the recent case in York, Livingston County, where a perp was tased by a sheriff's deputy, and he yanked the taser out of his skin and continued and hopped in his car and drove.
Yeah.
Because he was, you know, probably, I think, probably like a meth guy or whatever.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible. And speaking of legally owned handguns, the SAFE Act didn't stop there. The SAFE Act now requires pistol permits to be renewed every 5 years. Of all the bad things the SAFE Act does, this one doesn't hurt me as bad. You know, I could live with this if we could get rid of everything else, right? But the problem is our pistol permit process is already a train wreck. It is. And now that we have this recertification process, they say it won't cost us anything, but who pays the salaries to the government officials that have to redo the renewals, redo the paperwork, redo the background checks? We do. We're paying for it. We'll be back in a moment on Radio Free New York.
I'd just like to throw this in just so people don't forget.
Ms. Killian, if you were presented with a chance to repeal the SAFE Act.
Whoops, that's the wrong one. Sorry about that. We'll be back. Take it away, Bob.
I want to turn this state around. I want to revamp our education system from K through 12 to K through 10 with no federal money and no new taxes. I want to repair our broken family court system so that when you lie in court, it is a crime. I want to support new industries like blockchain and open source and hemp and cannabis to support our struggling farmers. You might say these ideas are radical. No, they're bold. We need new, bold ideas to save this state. And this new message is approved by Larry Sharp.
If you're looking to market and grow your business, make new business connections, and give back to the community in a meaningful way, consider joining the Greece Regional Chamber of Commerce. We're the largest suburban chamber in Monroe County, and we offer networking, education, marketing, insurance, and advocacy. You do not need to live or work in Greece to join. Our members come from throughout the region. In short, we're better together, and together, we're moving business forward. Visit GreeceChamber.org or call 585-227-7272 to join today.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
Nothing better than cranky computers. This is what I meant to toss out there, just so we don't forget.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
Lovely
we
reaction.
Have not reached greatness. We will reach greatness when every American is fully engaged.
I have no idea what that means, Andrew. I think that the Governor Headcase means when everybody agrees with me.
I take it as we'll reach greatness in New York when Cuomo leaves. And,
I'm into that.
I'll pitch in for the
as long
U-Haul.
As he doesn't wind Absolutely. Up in the White House.
Would be a problem. That would definitely be a problem. So Amy on Facebook says that she had no idea. This is insane. I agree with her 100%. This law, the SAFE Act, is insane. What's happening in New York is really just awful. That's it. So yes, we just wrapped up talking about just a whole slew of really awful things that the SAFE Act has done to New York and all the bad things in this law. There's a few things though that they put in the SAFE Act that make some people feel kind of good. And, you know, people kind of debate this a little bit. The first is the Webster provision, which is if you shoot a first responder, you get extra jail time. I will tell you, I was a volunteer first responder when the SAFE Act was passed. It did not make me feel any safer. We all agreed that what makes first responders safer is good protocol, good relations with law enforcement, and having those processes in place. Now, here's the thing. If we get rid of the SAFE Act, yes, let's just take the Webster provision. Let's make that a separate law. What happened is we talked about the marketing on the SAFE Act, and they put that in there so they could say, if you don't vote for the SAFE Act, you're voting against first responders. So great trick by the governor. Definitely found his way through doing that. There's one other thing. There's a privacy thing in the SAFE Act. And the reason I bring this stuff up, by the way, is so that people understand what the law is. You don't get caught off guard when you talk about it, but also so that you understand that we understand the law and that, you know, it's just important to know all of this. So one thing that I do see that should also be a separate law once the SAFE Act goes away is that as a pistol permit holder in New York State, you could check a box to say, don't make my information public, so that somebody couldn't FOIL request your address, your information from the government. Somebody actually put together a list in 2010 of all the pistol permit holders in New York State, published it on the internet. I believe it was a writer, some reporter, they did that. And shortly after that, guess what happened? Bad people started breaking into people's houses to steal their guns. That's what happened. So those two things, people will say, if they're even aware of them, well, I kind of like these things. Yeah, that doesn't make the law better at all. It doesn't. They should be a separate law. We could totally do that. Make that a separate law. So we talk about the SAFE Act, how bad it is. I mentioned that there was a betrayal with this law, and that is that our elected officials voted for this. They decided that in New York State, the Second Amendment is the second suggestion. And a lot of people, when they say that, they go, yeah, those liberals. But it wasn't just the left. It was the right, too. Republicans voted for this law. They did. And this is why we continue to lose our rights. Because we have people in office who say that they stand for something. And when they get in, they don't. Or what's worse, and what's happening right now in New York, is we have people who run Red Team, don't say they stand for things, but then we're told, yeah, you should vote for them because they're going to do good things. They're Team Red. They're Republicans. They have the best chance of winning. So compromise your ideals. Vote for somebody who doesn't actually represent you. They might be running with the name, running with the banner, and then they vote for things like the SAFE Act.
Doesn't exactly make sense now, does it?
No.
Why would you vote for somebody? I mean, just because of their label?
Yeah. Yeah. And or my favorite thing. Well, they have a well-known name. They have money. We should run them.
Hillary Clinton has a great, tremendous name recognition.
She does. So is Kanye West. He's got money, too. Well, maybe he doesn't have money anymore. I don't know. That's not a good reason to run somebody. And just because they, you know, have your name, you know, Red Team, Blue Team, doesn't mean that they represent your ideals. So we have this thing in New York. I'm sure it's not just a New York thing. We call them rhinos. Republican in name only. And I got to say, as I watch legislation get passed in New York State, seems like they don't actually represent the principles that they talk about. And the SAFE Act is proof of that, for sure. But something else I'm seeing in New York, and somebody's going to get upset with me for saying this, I'm sure. Maybe we'll get a call in. I don't know. Maybe somebody will post it on Facebook. They'll get really angry. It's not just the Republican Party that's doing this. I'm starting to see this in membership-based Second Amendment groups across the state. I'm starting to see it. These are groups that you pay a membership for. They're supposed to fight for your Second Amendment rights. Some of them did in the beginning, but what I'm seeing this time, I'm seeing them go, maybe we can compromise this. Now, that might work if your organization represents many things. Maybe you're an organization, you represent small businesses, education, and a whole bunch of other things, and you've got this mission statement that encompasses like 10 or 15 values, and to get something done, you go, we'll compromise on one to get all 14 others of them done. But for these Second Amendment groups who have one mission statement to protect the Second Amendment, some of them have been around for 50 plus years, and things are getting worse in New York. And I literally had a guy tell me, I've been fighting for Second Amendment rights in New York State for 30 years, and I can't help but feel that that hasn't been successful. I you know, and somebody's going to get upset with me. Somebody is. My generation, I'm a millennial. And, yeah, I know I haven't shaved today, so maybe you didn't suspect that. I'm, doing events back-to-back, got to clean up. But when you look at the numbers, millennials are actually the biggest group out there right now supporting the Second Amendment. The biggest group. You wouldn't expect it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, the group right after us, they're eating Tide Pods and stuff. So they've got some issues. Those are not millennials. It's a common misconception. That group, that's not us. But millennials, a lot of people write us off as, goofy kids that don't know anything. We're the biggest Second Amendment supporters right now. We are. So what does that say? That says what has been being done for decades in New York is not working. Voting Red Team every single time. It's not working. It's not. So that's the state of New York right now. A lot of times I'll hear the Republican candidate be asked about a stance on the Second Amendment. And he will say, I support the Second Amendment, and then talk about other things for 10 minutes. So you forget that he never answered what he would do about the SAFE Act, or that you forget that that's the question you asked, and he didn't really answer it. But thankfully, his running mate did answer that question for us live on television just a few months ago, and we're going to go ahead and play that answer right now.
Ms. Killian, if you were presented with a chance to repeal the SAFE Act, would you do that if elected?
Absolutely not. I have been very clear about my position on common sense gun control from the very beginning.
Are there any parts of the SAFE Act you would vote to repeal?
No, I am not repealing the SAFE Act. I would not vote for it. I believe in common sense gun control. I believe we need universal background checks. We need to ban bump stocks. We need to raise the age to 21. I would pass the extreme risk protection order. And when I'm in the Senate, I am going to work with the Senate Republicans to get that done.
What is the extreme risk assessment? Is that red flag?
That's their fancy word for the red flag laws. Yeah, that's the Republicans' version. Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah, it's terrible. So that's the Republican ticket, their stance on the SAFE Act.
And by the way, I have had conversations with Mark Molinaro about Julie Killian.
Who's that?
and his somewhat mystifying answer, which is defeatist as much as it is irrelevant, is, well, the state GOP mandated that she's going to be my running mate.
Mm.
Well, if I were Mark Molinaro, I would have said, then I'm not running. Get somebody else to be an idiot.
Yeah. And it's interesting because
she's never recanted that, by the way.
No, she hasn't.
He just says, oh, no, she believes the same things I do.
Yes.
I said, can I hear that from her?
Yeah. Yeah. Not only that, there have been other people that have asked him the same question, and he says, no, I chose her. So he can't even keep his story straight. And there's people have screenshot their messages.
Hadn't heard that.
On social media. And he doubled down on it a few weeks ago. It was my choice. And, you know, she'll represent my views. I don't think so. I don't see it. So what's our idea? How are we going to get rid of the SAFE Act? Because the Republicans keep saying, SAFE Act's here to stay. There's no way to get rid of it. So I'm going to give you a real quick three things that we're going to do to eliminate the SAFE Act. First is, in our first 90 days in office, we create the Office of the Pardon to pardon all victims of the SAFE Act. Now, you might be thinking, whoa, what about the guy who robbed a bank? What about that guy? Yes, pardon for SAFE Act, not for other illegal things. So you had 8 bullets in your gun. You robbed the bank. You're still going to jail for robbing the bank, just not for having 8 bullets in your gun. Second thing we're going to do, and our law enforcement, they love this. They reach out to us all the time. They say, thank you so much. Thank you for saying you won't ask us to break our oath of office. We send a letter to all law enforcement in the state and say this. SAFE Act enforcement is a zero priority, absolute lowest, which means if you have the opportunity to choose between counting the bullets in somebody's magazine, inspecting the plastic on their firearm, or picking your nose, please, officer, pick your nose instead. Law enforcement love that. They're very happy that they don't have to choose between providing for their family or trampling on somebody's rights. Last and final piece of the SAFE Act is funding. Now, sometimes you can find the funding, sometimes you can't. If any funding comes across our desk for the SAFE Act, it gets vetoed immediately. I don't care if it's $5. Won't happen. None of this needs any approval from the Senate. None of it needs any approval from the Assembly. And just to prove that to you, Cuomo literally just pardoned 24,000 people before the election. He literally just did that. Governor has executive power to do that. We will do that for victims of the SAFE Act.
So it's an amnesty. That's what you're talking about.
That's exactly what we're talking about. Now, it's interesting because New York State doesn't have a good way to expunge records. So we actually have to build that infrastructure. That's how bad it is in New York. You put people in jail, they have a criminal record. If you make a mistake, there's kind of no way to dial it back. So we're working on building that infrastructure for New York. My personal favorite is the DA has to go in who prosecuted them and eliminate the records. So if you spent the time prosecuting them, now you got to go back and fix it. That's my vote. That's what I want to see happen. So,
all right. So in our waning moments here, you're running for lieutenant governor.
I am.
You have some contact information and maybe an agenda coming up, itinerary, things that people can do if they want to hear more or get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. So this week has been crazy busy. We had a rally in Rochester. We just had an event last night at a bar. Over 100 people showed up. It was packed, standing room only. Check me out on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com, search Andrew Hollister for a new New York. We just got up over 2,000 likes this week. We want to hit 2,500 next week. So please go there, like that page. On Facebook, search Larry Sharp for New York. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Search those same things. Andrew Hollister, Larry Sharp. We have a few more rallies coming up, one in Albany, one in New York City, I think one in Utica. Check the Facebook pages for the information. And I heard a rumor that we're going to be in the debates. So very exciting.
Wow, which debates are those again then?
I've heard there's only going to be one debate for all the gubernatorial candidates and that we will be included.
Congratulations. And you do have a ballot line.
We do. Yes, we're on the Libertarian line. You can find us. Look down your ballot. Circle in Andrew Hollister and Larry Sharp.
All right. Thanks so much, Andrew. And we'll see you next week on Radio Free New York. Thanks for listening to the WYSL stations.